Are you interested in selling the A-League license you hold?
No, is the simple answer.
Brings you
Phoenix City.
Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. We're down at the Four Kings, and this podcast will be full of swear words.
Fun interestingness.
I just muted you, Cam, because you were talking too loudly and nobody heard that comment.
I wasn't talking too loudly.
Sorry. You're back now. Everyone's here today. No guest, thank God. Imagine having to do this podcast with a guest present. Probably the worst.
It depends who it is. Some guests could be good. I can't think who, but I'm sure someone would add some swearing.
I can name you two guys who would not be fronting today.
Who?
Domi and Rob Morrison.
Well, maybe. I don't know. We didn't ask them.
Not so a fucking hope.
We'll never know.
This is your first swear word.
Swear out one. Yeah, let's start with the ownership. Selling the club. Talk, bullshit, everything. Obviously. Multiple articles been perpetuated in Australian and now New Zealand media. There was no response from the club for a long time, and everything got louder and louder and louder, and all of a sudden the club and Rob Morrison finally released some sort of statement today, and then Rob did an interview on Radio Sport with Jason Pyne, which those two things said very different messages. Bizarrely so. Anyway, let's talk about the last few days or so and how shit that's been. And just no statement from the Phoenix whatsoever, leaving supporters of the club to defend it.
Shall I start?
Sure.
Okay. First off, whole lot of wonderful beat-ups with no one. Like, the original stories were run by people with vested interest, either their employers or have vested interest in seeing the Knicks out.
I think you can go further. You can call it agendas.
Yeah, well, agendas, that's fair. So their employers had reasons for wanting the Knicks out, or they had connections with the expansion teams who would prefer to buy an existing license rather than have the second-class license that the expansion would offer. So there's that. Then there's the journalists that came along and, for the sake of a bit of clickbait, and actually not doing research, not rewriting what was about, just literally spouting what exists, not putting any context on it, really, really poor journalism, were just republishing for the sake of we need the clicks. And that was the second thing. So you just got this whole cycle of garbage on top of garbage without any journalistic work
integrity?
In the background.
Integrity.
Yeah. It was just there was no research done at all. There was no context. There was
To be fair, I'm going to defend the journalists a little bit here, because in this day and age, that's standard across all industries. That doesn't have to be a problem. There's no time for them to be doing research. So as soon as one media outlet is led with this story, the rest of them just have to publish it. You can't have a story sitting on, say, Fairfax in Australia without their competitor also running the same thing. And they're gonna use the same quotes, because they don't do an interview again themselves. They just go,
"Oh no,
the
sure."
Herald Sun have reported X, Y, Z.
But you know, there's nothing stopping them go, "Yes, the Herald Sun have reported this. This has come from so and so who works for." Put it in context.
Well, so the problem is that a lot of the stuff initially came from the covert agent who ostensibly is anonymous, but we all, I mean, it's well known around
Tony Rellis.
So, I mean, it's not, but a journalist can't say that because they don't have the evidence to go, Tony Rellis says this. They have,
but they can say that it's in the anonymous and put it on that, someone who's not willing to actually go come out there and say, you know, I'm this, I've got a connection.
Well, but see, then the next story's just said the Herald Sun have said this. So they take quotes from their previous article and they can just keep building on that. And that's precisely how we
know. You're missing a step in there. Covert agent is on goal.com.
Yeah.
And then David Devotovich ran it as well in the Herald Sun.
Yeah.
And that's what made everything kick off. Nobody else ran with it after the covert agent said anything. It was when David Devotovich, who is a reputable journalist and has a track record of being correct and knowing things before anybody else does know them because of who he is. And it's when he ran with it that everyone else piled on.
That's completely true.
Thank you, Dave. You don't say that very often.
It's not true very often.
and once that happened, everything blew up. And that's where the issue has come from, whether he's had the same source as covert agent, Tony Rallis, or whether he's got this from Tony Rallis alone. But who knows where the story really came from, and we're never going to know the answer to that question. The way the Phoenix dealt with it was a big problem.
We've said this well, they didn't deal with it, basically.
Yeah, and that means that other people can fill the vacuum of space with the narrative they want.
Yeah, I think there's a solid argument from the club, and they've made it previously, that they're not going to respond to every rumor or everything that's out there as, you know, some kind of theory. And fair enough, because there are times where you don't want to give air to that stuff. You don't want it to grow. And so at the point where it was the covert agent, fair enough, you don't need to respond to that. You can let that sit, because that's just one guy with an agenda that, you know, he puts out a lot of shit that no one deals with, because most of it just proves to be completely wrong. And so you don't need to address it at that point. But once it's hit a major metropolitan paper, you probably need to start paying attention to it. And once it hits a second one, which it did quite quickly, they probably need to go, actually, now this is getting reported, not just as a widely reported rumor, but it was getting reported as fact. You know, this is a thing that's happening. The Phoenix are shopping around their license. That's the point where they needed to address it. And at that point, it could have just been a two-sentence statement. It was a very simple email. The Phoenix are not currently selling their license. We are not looking to do so. We remain committed next season. Done. Send. Get it to all the journalists. Done. That's the end of it. It stops there. But that didn't happen. And it took far too long before anything did happen. And then the release statement that we saw was very confusing. I mean, it didn't address that key point that you should have had in the, you know, sentence one. It just didn't say it.
It was piss weak, wasn't it? I mean, it was four paragraphs of just not really saying much at all. The last three paragraphs slightly addressed it, but didn't actually give a blanket. You need a soundbite. You need a literal phrase or sentence. The club is not actively looking to sell the license or merge with any other club.
The statement did say that. The first line in the statement was Rob Morrison has said the Wellington Phoenix are not looking to sell their license.
That was the headline, but
there was nothing. There was nothing backing it up.
It didn't refute the allegation.
Sorry, you're right.
It didn't say we're not looking to sell. It didn't say that at all. It said we refute that allegation. Then it went on to detail a range of things that are all interesting and potentially relevant, but aren't that refuting at all. All it said is, you know, we have had some meetings and they weren't about selling it, but, you know, there is talk around people selling licenses, and there's all these layers to all this stuff with the expansion confusion and the FFA and their governance upheaval and all of that stuff. And so everything's very confused right now. So we've been involved in discussions around what it might look like when we all come out the other side. That's not saying we're not going to sell.
Totally. I agree.
And I don't, I think I tweeted it this afternoon saying, look, the issue here is it provided some good context of the meetings were not Rob going to people and saying, hey, how much do you want to pay me for my license? That the release kind of clarified, I was in some meetings where stuff like that was discussed, but it wasn't the point of the meeting. The meetings were a variety of other things where licenses and sales and mergers and various things, maybe involving the Phoenix or maybe involving someone else, were talked about. And I think that's a good distinction for him to have made. I think that seems very believable to me. That in the uncertain environment that we're in, he would have been in some meetings with expansion clubs and things where they're looking at how they might get themselves into the league, whether that be through the expansion process or acquiring something or a partnership or whatever. That seems fair enough, and I don't think anyone begrudges that.
Especially when it's looking like the league may go independent. I get that's kind of ideal. You want, at the moment, the expansion bids are on the table for the FFA, but if the FFA doesn't run the league, then those expansion bids still want to be part of this, and they still need to have everybody else on board.
Absolutely, and so I think he the ability was there in that statement to explain that you know, some of what's been talked about in the news did happen. You know, there have been discussions. Rob's been at meetings. That's a thing that has happened. But the club are not actively selling their license. You can still say that and have been in those meetings. And that should have been absolutely nailed home. The club are not currently looking to do that.
And Rob said that in the interview.
He did.
When
Piney Point Black asked him, are you looking to sell the Wellington Phoenix license? He said, no, is the simple answer. And that's what they should be screaming. That's what they should be shouting from the rooftops. No, we are not selling our license. And you dig yourself into a hole once you haven't said anything for so long. And the way that you dig out of that hole is not by releasing the release that came out. The fact that Rob wanted to say those things is that's fine, but Rob should also be saying, no, we're not selling our license on that release. Most people didn't listen to the interview. Most people didn't hear it.
No, I haven't heard it yet. I will be listening to it, but I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, because it's much harder to consume that than a two-paragraph statement saying, we're not selling our license.
Well, and more importantly, the Aussie journos don't have that. They just simply do not have access to that. They only had the release. And so 442 rightly have run with a story that says they refuse to rule out selling the club, because that's the way the release reads.
And a whole bunch of journalists saying it's a classic non-denial. They haven't actually denied it. That's basically confirming it, and that's what you get from that release. And that's what the problem is here.
I think the issue with this whole situation is that, and to kill these rumors off, you needed to come out and aggressively attack and defend your position, aggressively attack those to say that they are 100% untrue in a very blatant, blunt statement early on. And that would have stopped all of this happening. None of this would have actually got close to the news. Admittedly, it would have happened on a Monday. You know, I would have happily taken a weekend of conjecture. But Monday morning, coming out with a very blanket, this is not true, is kind of what this needed to stop. Stop it snowballing and put your fans at ease, because there's so many of them now are concerned, obviously have been concerned for the last few days, about what's happening with their club. I have an issue around business and passion. So there's one thing running it as a business, trying not to make a loss out of the club, and that's a very it's a decent idea, one that, you know, can be very lauded.
But it's admirable.
Exactly. But for us, this is our passion, right? I don't do this for a job. I do this because I love football, and I go to the games because I love football. So sometimes it's hard when you're in it, working it from the business side of it, to see that passion side of it that all your fans have, and it can be lost in what you're doing at times.
Yeah, in many ways you have to act differently to most other businesses would in these situations. You know, when you particularly having been involved in that kind of media industry for a long time, you know, there are times where, you know, say around a share offer or something, there are things that the lawyers will just go, well, you just can't respond to this. You know, you can't get involved in that. Football's different, and you do need to deal with it differently to how you deal with traditional comms. And I think sometimes the club get a bit caught up with trying to do a very detailed, response to something. Oh, if we're going to put out a media release, it needs to be, you know, it needs to explain all this stuff, and, you know, Rob needs to talk about, you know, all of this. It didn't even need a spokesperson. It just needed two paragraphs of, that's not true. And it was done.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between that the business side and the football side is that you have emotional shareholders, which you don't have in business. And You only need to address those emotional shareholders, the fans, at an emotional level. Just have to say, no, it's not true. We can go on.
Is anybody at this table still worried about whether we're going to have a team or whether we're going to sell it? Is that still a thing that worries anybody here?
Right this second, no. Right this second, no.
Yeah, my concern is not this season, though. It's the end of next season. Is there going to be an FFA? Because that's the crux of it, isn't it? If the FFA is there, then there's no question that Wellnicks want to get out. They see no point in operating in that environment. If the FFA isn't there, it seems like they're keen to stay on. Whether that's with another investor as well. It sounds like they're definitely interested in having another investor alongside Wellnicks in the Phoenix. Okay, that's fair enough. That's a business decision.
Yeah, and I think part of that rests with the fact that some of those Wellnicks guys want to get out. They are happy with the goals they came in to try and achieve, but they're now reaching a point of kind of almost maturity with that, of going, we're running it as a sound business. It can continue as it is, barring external effects, but that's what we wanted to achieve, and we're there. Let's get out now. And so they need some replacement for those guys who are, you know, walking away.
Well, Gareth said as much on the radio. A lot of people misinterpreted that as Welnick's one out.
Yeah.
Whereas it was actually just Gareth loses interest in things very quickly, and it's surprising he stayed in as long as he has. And so you're absolutely right. There are owners who aren't really as emotionally involved in this as they were. There are still owners who are fucking amazingly involved in this. Like Rob and Henry, are both owners that are so passionate about this club and will stick by it as long as they can, or as long as they see it feasible.
And the other thing to remember is that the investment, the attractiveness of investing in Welnick's and the Phoenix definitely changes at any time that the FFA steps out, because potentially that A-League TV money starts coming more towards the clubs, potentially starts going out to the clubs, maybe starts breaking even. It starts becoming a lot more attractive proposition.
Yeah, I think I, in many ways, echo those same fears. And I think Rob touched on it quite well in his interview, where he talks about, are we going to play any of the interview in this? I don't know what you're doing with that, but people can, there's a SoundCloud, go listen to the interview. But in the interview, he talks about how there's going to be change, right? And they're pretty certain there will be change. But the issue is that I think in most of our minds up until this point, I kind of hadn't thought about it myself either, is it's either independent A-League or Lowy still in control. And there's actually a big range in the middle there of somewhere we might end up, where the FFA have less control over the A-League but actually still are in control in some capacity. We don't know what that might look like, and no one can really predict where that could end up. So I think the ideal outcome, where the Knicks are 100% in, good to go, independent A-League. You know, the other clubs are the only other stakeholders who care about it at that point, and they're all 100% with us staying around. Great. But we might have a situation where actually the FFA aren't in control of the league, but do have a seat at that table and might have some pull on certain things, like how much money the league's getting still, or, you know, something like that. The ability to who they issue the licenses to might still be controlled by the FFA, even if they're not getting the money, or, you know, there might be a situation there where the club have to go, well, that's, you know, it's mostly independent, but it's still a step too far, and I think they will bail out at that point. So the big problem here is I think everyone accepts that probably we're not ending up at the end of the spectrum of Lowy's in power and nothing changes. There's going to be change, but is the change going to be big enough for the Phoenix to see this as still a valuable thing to be remaining in? And we don't know that yet. I think 12 months from now, there'll be a lot more certainty around that, but if 12 months from now it's not a big enough change, Rob and Welnick's will sell, and fair enough.
Should we move on? Let's move on. International windows are happening.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's big news.
Yeah.
I'm sure Domi's spending his evening right now ringing every Kiwi that's overseas. Ben Wilson, stand by your phone.
Well, it kind of validates what they had said, where this season they tried the tactic of signing mostly Australians and not signing all whites because we would get screwed over during the windows, and it obviously didn't work this season. And
or any
they've
other
signaled,
season.
They've allegedly signaled that they're looking at doing a more Kiwi focus next year. And with the national windows, that's much more feasible. Maybe we see more than three all whites here. I don't know what the recruitment is going to be like, but you can certainly look at recruiting more all whites now that you know they're not missing any games in a season because of the all whites.
It's good in that hopefully we can bring some Kiwis back. The problem being is that most of the Kiwis that would be of a sufficient standard are playing at the MLS or higher, and the MLS has more money than we do, so that competing on that financial level is going to be a real issue.
Sure, but we can sign a Monty Patterson without worrying he's going to leave. Like, I'm not saying we should sign Monty Patterson because we shouldn't.
No,
but we can sign someone like that who's not making it at the highest level but still gets caught up to the all-whites every time around because he's just one of the players who's a squad player.
But,
and we can now sign those players without missing them for 3, 4, 5 games a season.
That's true.
It's three windows that clash, and each one is probably about two games that they miss.
But the sort of level that we'd want to be signing is your Michael Boxalls. And tempting him away is not going to happen.
We're not going to sign him.
Certainly not until he gets towards the latter end of his career and is winding down. I mean, you know full well that he wants to play for the Knicks at some stage. but the money's too good in the MLS. I'm sure he'd love nothing more than bringing his partner and child back here, living in Wellington, playing for a local team. You know, the sort of guy that showed up in the zone at one stage when he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
So that'd be great. But, you know, it's a possibility.
The part of this that grates me is it took so long to get this in play. And, like, it's just, it should have been a non-issue for so many years. And now all of a sudden, the A-League are applauding the fact that they haven't finally got Fox on the same page and made this decision. And
it's because the victory ended up.
And it's just farcical. Like, it's like when a country gets marriage equality finally. They pat themselves on the back, but maybe that should have happened 10 years ago. Like, that's the thing that's how I feel about this. It's like, it's finally there and it should have been there for so long. You don't get any credit for finally doing it. So
that's just
Man tonight, Pat.
I think he's got valid reason over the last few days to be feeling a little bit grumpy. It's a marketing boon for the Phoenix as well, because it's so easy for them to sell New Zealand versus Australia in every single home game. It's so easy for them to say, "Come, you know, we're all whites are made," as they're taking the Handy Prem's tagline. Well, here they are playing, and we get to play against Australians every single week, and you know, New Zealanders get behind that whole "we hate Aussie" kind of tagline.
And even more so, for makes us the textbook villains for the Aussies. We should be selling that shit. We should be making it as hard as possible to like us over there. From a footballing perspective, yeah. We are the perfect villains. We are the not from Australia. This could be pantomime brilliant.
I don't think they care enough. I genuinely don't think they care enough about the Phoenix.
Who? Fox?
No. Australian football fans.
In general, yeah.
In general.
Yeah,
I think
maybe
that,
not.
I think that Melbourne Victory fans are way more excited about their Adelaide rivalry or Sydney. Or
the Big Blue.
Jets fans.
Or City. So,
you start beating them a couple of times and it becomes more interesting.
That's fucking hard for us to do at the moment.
I want to agree with Patrick again, and I'm not going to make a habit of this, but I think it just doesn't matter where they're from. I think the reality is Australians who've come and played for the Phoenix and played well have been just as big a draw card as if they were a Kiwi. I think the reality is that how they're playing and how the team are performing is way more important than whether it's filled with Kiwis or Aussies or
100%
whoever it is,
on board,
you know?
With that. 100%
and so I think it's a nice little, you know, it's a nice to have, but honestly, I couldn't care less. I think breaking for international windows is fantastic, not just because it lets us have Kiwis in there, but actually because it's good for the league. I mean, guys like Roy are now available to play. I mean, you know, whatever the situation is with his citizenship, residency and all of that, he might be a local soon anyway. But the reality is he goes away and plays for Fiji. There's a lot of Australian players who go away, and there's been imports who have gone away and played for their countries. And the reality is it actually is just taking good players out of the league for a week for no good reason other than the FFA don't play hardball with the broadcasters enough. They just capitulate. They're too defensive with it because they're too worried about how big the AFL and the league are. And obviously, that is a thing they need to be mindful of. But if they keep just, you know, rolling over to the broadcasters, of course they're never going to get their way. There's, you know, you become the easy beat. And that's why this latest TV deal is shit, because the FFA were always in a losing position because Fox can just go, "Well, we know we're going to get the better of you. We'll just make all our demands and you'll just take it because you always have in the past." And finally, it seems like they might have stood up on an issue, but they need to be standing up on way more issues. And that's where I take some solace in the fact that they've stood up on one issue, because I'm sure Fox still don't want this. The FFA have dug in their heels, and good on them for finally digging their heels on something, but they need to do it more. They need to push back. And the reality is there isn't just Fox. There are other options in Australia for broadcasting this, and with changing technology, there's going to be even more. You know, we can be putting this on the internet, and we can be doing all sorts of shit that we don't need Fox anymore. So,
yeah. I think while that's true, I think the fact that we were losing so many quality players out of it for that week or two meant that, you know, Fox were realising that, you know, that the quality of what they were broadcasting was dropping.
It also helps that you have the Socceroos at a World Cup. It helps that you have them playing games and their brand building. It helps that they have the Matildas doing the same thing. And they will absolutely be using Matildas games in the windows as their major broadcast for the weekend. And they won't have the problem anymore where it's a Thursday night Matildas game that they hype everyone up for and then nobody cares about opening night of the A-League the next night. Like, that's not a thing they have to worry about anymore. So there are some benefits of Fox in here. Yeah. And I think finally they've seen that perhaps those benefits they can use to outweigh the fact that they have no football for weekend. But fuck them. Like, they're just a broadcaster. They shouldn't rule the roost like they had been. So I agree with Dave. Let's bring it back to football. And let's talk about the Phoenix in terms of football, because this season wasn't good, but we need next season to be good because I don't want it to be shit again. How do we do that? That's the question. That's the question I pose you.
Play good, win much.
How do we do that?
Play good, win much.
Well, it would help to have a squad of decent players. It would help to have a coach that everyone doesn't despise.
Isn't a wanker.
It would help to have an entire playing and coaching unit that are working together.
I'll be honest, I don't actually think our squad was particularly shit this year at the start of the season. There's a couple, yeah, fair enough. There's a few players in there that you wouldn't have had. But the starting 11 was good, and the bench was okay.
And the addition of Burns as well.
Yep, absolutely. So
can you imagine if Dario had stayed and Burns?
Yeah.
We would have been struggling to find space for them.
And Guy as well. Yeah, so when you coming into the season, it wasn't that we were under strength. I genuinely thought, and I think I picked us to finish sixth. I thought we were a sixth place team. We definitely had a chance at the playoffs. Turns out I was very wrong, but I don't necessarily put that down to the players.
Should we discuss those players?
Let's go through the list. Let's go through the whole squad of players, and let's go through the list and just give a little. Well, we won't spend long on each player, but we'll just do a little chat about them.
Cool. Okay,
I'm keen to read out the stats you've got on there as well.
Yeah, okay.
I think
so, number one, Luis Italiano had 13 starts for one yellow, and he is off contract for next season.
Bye.
Yeah. Done.
Shouldn't have been signed as our number one.
Totally.
That's him.
Yeah.
And shouldn't be there as our number two for next year?
No, because we have Kiwi options who are better than him. So
yep.
Let's say those.
If he ends up being our only option as number two, I'm fine with him being a number two.
Yeah, but
we should be pursuing the other option first.
At this point, I'll take Keegan Smith or Ollie Sale ahead of him as number two.
He won't be here as a number two next year.
No, he won't.
He's done that. He doesn't want to do that. No. He'll go somewhere else and play.
And good luck to him.
Next.
Cool. Daniel Mullen played 17 times, or sorry, 17 starts and one sub appearance for one goal and two yellows, and he is not contracted to 2019.
Keep off from our 1+1.
Yep. Keep him around. He's solid. He has done the job when other players like Rossi haven't, and he's been able to fill in all the way across that back line. I think he's the perfect squad player for the Phoenix.
Right back in centre back cover. Perfect.
Yeah. As a squad player, totally agree.
17 appearances a season. Happy with that.
He's utility. He covers so many positions at the back there, and he's handy at all of them. And at no point do I remember thinking, uh-oh, he's the reason we've struggled in this game. You know, he's had mistakes like anyone, but at no point was he horrible. You know,
cool.
Fine.
Scott Galloway is number three, 18 starts, three appearances for four yellows, and he is not contracted to next season.
No.
Honking, no. Yeah.
Not good. Get rid of him.
Definitely wasn't what I hoped from an Australian under 23.
I was really excited for the signing because he's played well in other clubs, and we just never saw that here. Whether that was the coach that he started under kind of beat it out of him early and we just never saw it return, I don't know. But for whatever reason, he didn't give us what we've seen elsewhere. And we should be seeing him getting better, not going backwards at this.
Not
this
one
kind of
single game did he look good.
Number four, Goran Paratski. 23 starts, one as a sub, one goal, five yellows, and he is not contracted to next season.
In the absence of signing someone else that can do that job, I think keep him. If we can get a New Zealand player, such as Tim Payne, who can do the similar job to an almost as good level.
With less money.
Less money and not an import, I think we should do that. So I think he's a wait and see what else comes up offer.
So I don't think he'll wait and see. I think he'll get a contract
and that's
home
fine.
And he's gone.
And that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Okay, the next on the list is Ryan Lowry, who did not play a minute this season, but is contracted for next year.
Release him.
Yeah. He's not actually...
There's no point having him here.
Yeah. If he's not getting on with the squad that we had and the performances we had,
he was long-term injured.
He didn't light the league up before, or even play to a solid level the preseason before when he was getting minutes. I think this was an easy let him go.
I think we tried to release him at one point.
Yeah,
that was certainly the rumor. Whether there's any truth to that, I don't know. But I think it was a point in that January window we tried to get rid of him and he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
So
I guess in his position.
Yeah.
It's actually very similar to what Rufa was in last
year.
Exactly. Stay and fight for your place and give yourself a chance with a new manager.
Yeah. So I don't mind that he's still here. I think he's decent if he manages to break into the team next year, great. Because he's shown some promise in that position, but just we haven't seen much of it.
Yeah. Okay, Dylan Fox had 11 starts and 3 sub appearances for 1 yellow card. Sorry, 3 yellow cards, and he is contracted to next season.
Offer him a bump anyway.
Hey, he's contracted for quite a while. He's got another 2 seasons on his deal, I think.
I think he's only got one.
Is his last? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Offer him a 2-year right now. Yeah. And also, on increased wages.
I think at the end of next season, he's been here 5 years, which would mean he qualifies as a local.
Assuming he fits all the criteria, which is very hard to do, as we found out.
For the All Whites.
Oh, tasty.
When we don't need centre backs.
No.
We've got 7 centre backs.
But he's going to be good enough to be there.
No, I don't think so.
He's also 22 years old.
Is Dylan Fox going to take us to the World Cup? I'm not sure he will.
I could believe that he could. 5 years from now?
Yeah. Sure, 5 years from now.
Centre backs.
Not the cycle coming up, but the next cycle potentially.
Yeah. Yep. And exactly. Anyway. He's 22, and that's when he's going to be peaking. Yep.
I'm with you guys. Offer him an extension.
Yeah.
All right, Nathan Burns, 11 starts, 3 sub appearances, 1 yellow, and he is contracted to next season.
How many goals?
None.
There's the problem.
Yep.
He just wasn't getting involved well enough.
He was getting involved, but he wasn't scoring.
Yeah, that's it. He was just missing a scoring. It showed that he hadn't played for a very long in Japan, basically.
I think this one depends completely on how much money he's being paid.
Yeah.
If he's being paid wages based on what he did last time he was here, not worth it. If he's being paid wages that are an A-League solid Australian player, I'm fine with it. Keep him around.
Well, he's already got a year left. And he's not going to stay past that. He's looking to move on.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
All right. Marcin Lewicz, I pronounced that appallingly.
Yep.
Had 10 starts, 3 sub appearances, scored 2 goals and got 4 yellows. He's not contracted to next season. Obviously, he came in January to replace Guy. Yep.
Better than not having an import at all for the second half of the season. Not worth having as an import next season for me. Release.
No.
Let him go.
Sings ahead of him. So
yep.
He certainly showed that he might have the ability to play at that level.
No consistency.
He just wasn't consistent enough to do it all the time. So
when you need everything out of your import slots, he doesn't offer enough there.
No.
It's that simple. I like him as a player. I like him as a guy. He seems like he has the passion we want. Yeah. And
great shoes at the end of season function.
Yeah. But really? He doesn't offer enough in terms of the skill. It's almost there, but not quite for an import.
Yeah. Andre Kaladurovic, 21 starts, 1 as a sub, 9 goals, was a golden boot, 1 yellow card. He's not contracted next season. He really fell off after Dario left.
I might be disagreeing with the other guys at the table, but I would keep him because under the right circumstances, he's the striker we need. And if we can recreate those circumstances next season, he will be good for us.
We don't have any crossing wide players. Both Burns and Roy are not outside and cross in, which is what he needs. That's the service he needs. He's a forehead on legs. That forehead is golden. But, you know, he's not going to score you strikers' goals. He's going to score old-fashioned number 9 goals.
Yeah, as soon as that delivery left, he scored 2 goals the rest of the season.
I agree. But if there's deliveries there, he'll score them, as he did in the first 8 games.
That's Roy and Burns who are going to be starting every single time, and that's not them.
And potential new imports.
Okay, so next is Michael McGlinchey. At 15 starts, 5 sub appearances, no goals for 2 yellows, and he is not contracted for next season.
Is anyone going to defend him?
I'm all right with keeping him so long as he takes a significant pay cut. I mean, the rumour is he's on pretty good money. He certainly isn't offering any value for that money.
Yeah.
I don't mind keeping him around as a squaddie on squaddie wages, but I don't think that's what he wants. I think he has bigger ambitions than that, and fair enough.
And he will pick up something quite easily in Scotland as well.
Yep. Yeah, so it's got to be 5 figures.
If he wants to stay here and take a pay cut, keep him around. He's not... He doesn't offer
he's
nothing.
He's not bad.
But he's not giving us value for the rumoured price tag.
He's not giving us Mexico.
He's not worth Paul Eiffel wages, for example. And at the moment, he sounds like he's like in the ballpark of Paul Eiffel wages. So, yeah.
Adam Parkhouse, 5 starts, 13 sub, 2 yellows, and he is contracted to next season.
Oh, is he? Great.
I don't mind him staying around. So long as we use him in the right role.
True.
What we forget is that when we signed him, he was a striker, ostensibly
left
a number
wide.
9, but actually, when you look at how he plays, he's left-sided wide striker, and that's fine. But we've used him as a back, and he offers nothing defensively.
And we use him as a right winger as well.
Yeah.
I don't mind him as a left back. I thought he did okay filling for Doyle.
No, he's terrible defensively. So he's fine in that left back role when it's getting forward,
yep.
but he, he doesn't get back and he can't affect tackles. And so when we, if we're going to use him wide on the left, it needs to be midfield or attacking, and he offers some stuff there. We've got him for another year. Let's try him in that. Let's see how it goes.
But not right. Fuck me.
No.
Cool. Next is Marco Rossi, 14 starts, 1 sub, 5 yellows, is not contracted to next season and has already indicated that he's left the country.
Bye. Yeah, fine with this. No problem there.
It wasn't his best season, and he only had two of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Again, lots of promise, just we never saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, we saw it.
We saw it
last year for
a bit. Yeah.
Alex Ruffa had 4 starts, 7 sub appearances, 2 yellows, the only red card for the Phoenix this year. He's not contracted to next year, and I think it might be a little telling now that his final act for the Knicks will be getting sent off, which is kind of a sad way to end it.
Yeah, they tried to give him a send off previously, so I can't see with the people being involved in the Knicks that probably weren't that keen on him that he will be staying. I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with him going. He's been in the club for long enough and he hasn't kicked on.
Yeah, and Matty Redington, same time.
We've seen bits and pieces of it, but the reality is I think that relationship has soured enough now that he will be looking at contracts already, and he'll probably end up with something on the table before we've even announced the coach, let alone that coach has decided that he wants someone like him. That would be a very late pickup if you were going to take him.
Yeah. James McGarry did not play a minute this season, is not contracted to next year, and I think it's unlikely we'll see him again.
Yeah.
He needed to be playing regular minutes, even as regular as Logan Rogerson was, to have any chance of getting a contract.
Again, he didn't really kick on. He showed promise when he was a bit younger, but never really showed it well enough at Phoenix level to say that he deserves an A-League start. And
I think he was impacted by his knee injury.
Totally.
He lost half a season and he was never quite the player again.
Exactly.
It's a real shame for someone so young to have that impact.
There was a long period there where he was looking much better than Logan was, and it's sad that we didn't see him given those same opportunities, but I think you're right, the injury is what hampered him there.
Yeah. Sarpreet Singh had 6 starts, 4 sub appearances for 4 goals and 2 yellows. He is contracted to next season.
I don't think we need to say anything here.
Offer an extension.
Find the season, sign him up to 5 years, and then hopefully sell him on at the end of the next year for a lot of money.
If we don't offer him another one, he's the sort of guy that the Victory will come in for, same way they did with Rojas, same way they did with Costa.
At a minimum here, you need to be looking at offering him 3 years on good money.
Yep, absolutely.
That way, at the very least, you play him for 1, maybe 2, and you've still got a year that you can actually make some return on.
He's a player you can build your midfield around.
Yeah.
And we should be doing that.
Absolutely. Tom Doyle, 18 starts, 1 sub appearances, 4 yellows, and he is contracted to next season. And I think, as I've said many times, I think he is the future captain material, and we kind of need to sign him up for a bit longer.
Solid as always. This season, he got hampered by his injury and the All Whites duty. And
you show you can play left centre back as well as playing left back at A League level. He could be the answer there going forward.
I'm very happy he's still contracted next year, and I think we should be looking at keeping him around beyond that. I'm not sure he's a player who's going to go anywhere else in the league, and so I think Phoenix, he could be the next Vinny Lear or Phoenix for 10 years, which would be amazing. He's halfway there already. So.
Yep, totally. I'm with Pat. As to whether he's going to be a leader or not, he slipped up a few times. He's got to work a lot harder for a lot longer before he's going to be there.
Yeah. Anyway.
I totally agree. But he has worked on those things. He is now getting to the stage where he is a leader. So, Ollie Sale made 3 starts and is contracted to next season.
I think he's going to be our number 2 keeper with somebody ahead of him, and I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I'd be okay with that too.
Yep.
Yep. He didn't disgrace himself when he made those 3 starts. He made 1 error, did cost us 2 points, obviously, in the draw against Brisbane. But that was the only genuine error I saw him make.
Yep.
That's A-League standard, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, three
games. Even number 1 keepers have a good 1 or 2 mistakes a season. Yep. So.
And he did set a record, I think, for the most number of saves in an A-League game at one point as well. So, you know, he's done himself every opportunity of going further. So. Next we have Roy Krishna, 18 starts, 2 sub appearances, 4 goals and 2 yellows. He is contracted, obviously, to next season. Disappointing season from Roy, even though he got player of the season, only 4 goals in return.
I think the goal count, but everything else he gave, even though he wasn't scoring in those last few games, all of our attacking play was going through Roy.
Yeah.
He was the most exciting player in the park for us, and the goal just didn't come. And on another season, he would have had 5 goals after all the contract stuff happened.
Since Dario left, he was the only person who looked like he was really creating anything. Yeah. He had to play a slightly different role than we've seen him previously, where before he could just be goal scorer. He was having to be that creative player that was sparking something. And so I think that impacted how many goals he was going to score.
I'm hoping he gets back there.
Him and Burns together is a good pairing, because you can't leave either of them. You can't double mark one of them because the other guy gets free if you do that.
As long as you sort out that midfield behind them, then perfect. I mean, you've got Singh, lock him in, but whoever else is making up that midfield is the important part here.
Singh playing ball for Roy to run onto is my wet dream. So
it's going to be pretty exciting. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Andrew Durante is 18 appearances, 5 yellow cards. He is not contracted to next season, but I think it's fairly widely accepted that he'll be here in some capacity.
Yeah, I think one year.
It's been mentioned another year of contract, so
you've got to offer him another year, and then you're going off-field role.
He's not starting every game for you next year. And I would hope that we would have backup plans starting to come into play. But we've got players like Fox around, and Dwyer can do it, Muller can do it. So I see no value in just getting rid of Dwyer completely. He would know that he's a bit past it and would take the pay cut and would want to stay here. So
I think that's the thing. He doesn't have 90 minutes every week, every round anymore. So we need to be looking for another starting centre-back. Yeah. I think we've all agreed Fox is there, but we need one more. But I think you keep Dwyer on anyway. He's certainly your first cab off the rank in terms of cover, and he's a great mentor and all that other stuff that he offers. So perfect.
He's also got I think he's been here 10 years now, so he qualifies that he gets that loyalty under the cap thing.
Part of his wage counts outside the cap.
So that's a bonus for us.
And if you're going to move him upstairs, then you've got every possibility of some more of that salary coming outside the cap as well. So next we have my player of the season, Matt Redenton. 23 starts, which was the most of anybody in the team, for 2 sub appearances as well. He didn't score a single goal, but did get 4 yellow cards. He is not contracted to next season. Obviously, there's rumours going around about his Jets signing.
It sounds like this might be out of our control, and it sounds like he might be going to the Jets, which would be great for him to be considered quality enough to be an import, and I think he is quality enough to be an import in the league. He would reunite with Ernie, who was part of his development, and obviously the player that Redenton is now is because of the chances Ernie gave him. It would be a big blow to the Phoenix to lose Redenton, but
100%
massive, massive blow. But Ernie, he'll be an import, so he'll be getting reasonable money.
So the one thing I'll say about him is I think if he had banged in the 4 or 5 goals he easily deserved this season, because he had some woeful luck in terms of scoring, where you're like, oh, that's in off the post, you know.
And it's, I think,
like,
he's hit the woodwork 3 or 4 times.
So I think he legitimately deserved 4 or 5, which when you look at that to the production we got out of Roy, I think he would have comfortably been player of the season. The one thing that he was lacking was just those few goals. I think everything else about his game was excellent, and if he'd got the goals he deserved, then I think he would have been player of the season.
Yep. Right, Logan Rogerson had 1 start, 6 sub appearances, 2 goals, and is not contracted to next season.
Despite what we've seen from him, I don't think he's worth having him around. He hasn't shown enough at other levels. He was fine at A-League level, but it didn't do enough for me, I don't think.
Yeah, I if you'd asked me that 6 months ago, I would have said exactly that, but I thought his last few games he actually showed a degree of improvement.
It did surprise me in the A-League that he had that in him, but his personality and his arrogance counts against him as well.
Can't speak to that. I know that has been an issue for him in the past, but I mean, if he's managed to turn that around and convince anyone else in the club that he's turned it around, then, you know, maybe he's worth another shot.
Okay, Liberato Cacace, 6 starts, 1 sub appearances, 1 yellow, and is not contracted to next season.
Same as Sapreet. Offer him a stinking great deal as a full pro. I mean, I know he's got skill.
Well, you can offer him youth. You can offer him a youth contract to be playing with the team.
Offer him a full.
I think you lock him into a full pro contract. I think that's just what
that's you not. It's not even up for debate for me.
I mean, lots of people are billing him for extremely high things. I think he's going to be an excellent player. I think maybe some of those claims are a little grandiose at this point, but I think we can all agree we have an excellent player there who certainly is A-League quality at a minimum. And so, yeah, great. Sign him up.
Keegan Smith made 6 starts, got 1 yellow. He is contracted to next season. I'm hoping that starting him in the first 6 games of the season hasn't ruined him, if that makes sense. I think it was way too early to throw him in there.
Oh, totally.
He is going to be a great goalkeeper But
it doesn't make any sense.
If
to
he
anybody.
Keeps developing,
yeah.
you know, but he's a 5-year project of mine.
That kind of pressure on a 17-year-old yeah. or 16-year-old kid was, I think, a little unfair on him.
He's going to give us what Lewis Taliaferro never did, and that was improvement. So
yeah,
I keep him here, and in 4 years' time, or 3 or 4 years' time, he is our goalkeeper.
I think the biggest thing for mine that might have ruined him is not necessarily his own performances, but the team performances during that period he was in there. That there was a lot of, you know, that we weren't doing well, and there was a lot of angst around the fan base. That much of that ended up directed at him, which as a young kid really hurts.
Yeah.
That can't have been easy to take. But I think whoever was in goal during that kind of period of the season probably was going to cop a lot of shit, and it just happened that it was all going at a teenage kid who's, you know, just starting his professional career, so
which is a real shame. Tando Vlaffi, obviously a late season signing, made 4 starts before getting a long term injury. He is not contracted to next season.
He has indicated that he is staying in Wellington to complete his rehab, so that's a good sign for me because I want him to stick around.
Yeah.
He was our best goalkeeper this season.
He was. He did
he
a
was
good
by
job.
Far the best goalkeeper.
As much as I call him Flappy, he didn't flap.
No. Yeah.
If he used to be. He didn't show that for us.
No.
He used to be
exactly.
flappy, and he just didn't show it.
If he had played out the season and hadn't picked up this injury, I think we would seriously be talking about saying he's a perfectly acceptable number one.
I think that case is still the case.
It might be the case, but I think that injury hurts that argument a little bit. If we'd seen him keep that consistency up for the entire time he was here, I think he would go, yeah, absolutely.
We had too many goalkeeping problems to take a risk.
Yeah.
We signed Tando, he will be solid enough for us, and at this point, that's what we need to take.
Yeah, I think the only thing that affects that is who else is available. If someone else happens to be available and
if
might take them.
If Danny Vukovic becomes available, we take Danny Vukovic. But absolutely. I don't think there's going to be a player of that quality.
No. And so I think we end up with Tando anyway, but I think that injury just hurts his chance a little bit because you never know if he's quite going to get back to where he was.
Okay, so there are a few other players.
Yeah, just read these names together and we'll just generally talk
about
them.
So we had Guy Finkler. He had 3 starts, 1 sub for 1 goal. Ali Abbas, 6 starts, 2 subs and 2 yellows. Monty Patterson, 2 starts, 2 sub appearances. Dario Vidicic, 10 starts, 4 goals. Hamish Watson had 8 sub appearances, and none of those players, obviously, are contracted next season, have all left the club. And Louis Fenton, who was coming back, obviously had a long-term injury, was released so he could go get back and get game time and not be sitting on the bench all the time. He is coming back for next season.
The only player that I'm sad is going is Dario. And
yep. Yeah.
We missed him.
We all know that was a problem and there was nothing we could do about that.
We missed him as soon as he went.
Yeah.
All our goals dried up really fast.
Exactly. So I don't mind any of the other guys. They were players that deserved to not be around next season from what they showed for the Phoenix this year. So I have no problem with any of them going.
Yep.
Monty Patterson in particular was very disappointing.
I was so excited. Same with Galloway.
Having seen him at 20s and having seen him at always level, he was just poor. And that disappointed me.
I don't think he was the most disappointing at all. I think you look down that list and Ali Abbas, he was terrible.
He was
absolutely
awful.
And then,
he came with no nothing about him. He was going to be a solid A-League player.
He was started ahead of Tom Doyle.
Terrible.
He was started ahead of Tom Doyle at left back.
Totally, fair enough.
If it'd been a solid A-League player, great. And I think that's what we all thought we were getting. He wasn't going to set league on fire like he has previously. He was just going to be solid. And he was much worse than that.
Yeah,
he looked
fair enough.
Worse on the pitch many times. Guy, again, he offers huge promise and we just didn't get it. Watson was always a bit of an experiment and it never quite paid dividends. Monty Patterson, again, I felt that it has been an experiment. I mean, we've seen promise from him at age group, could have gone really well, but I think we all knew he was untested and so we didn't know what to expect, which is why he was signed on a loan deal, and I am not going to be unhappy that we don't extend that into a contract.
All right, let's talk T-Dubs now. T-Dubs had their OFC semi-final against Auckland City over the weekend at DVF.
What a cracking game of football.
Amazing game of football. Ended up
absolutely
nil-all.
Brilliant.
Could have been 2-2. Probably deserved to be 2-2 half time.
It could have been 2-2 in the first 20 minutes and it could have ended 3-3 quite happily.
It was a great game of football. I had a great day out at DVF. Would have loved to tee up a sneaker goal, and they had chances at the end. They were the team that shaded it in terms of overall performance, but I think Auckland still had the best chances, and that Tade one off the post.
I think you summed it up well, mate.
Yeah.
I think T-Dubs were the better side, just Auckland had the best opportunity to score in the match.
Yeah.
I think if Andy Bevan's volley late in the second half had gone in and that have, and the T-Dubs had nicked it 1-0, you'd have gone, fair reflection of the game. But as it was, they were only in it because Scott Basile made an absolutely outstanding diving left-handed save off, I think it was Emiliano Tade, header in the first half.
I think that a 1-0 result going up to Auckland would make things a lot easier. I'm just a little bit worried about nil all. Obviously, we don't actually need to win up there. We can get away with a score draw. But scoring against Auckland up there is going to be hard. It's been hard for anybody to score this season.
Like 9 or 10 clean sheets in a row or something stupid?
22 hours total.
I think nil all is a result that Team Wellington will be really happy with, but it still leaves Auckland as the favourite to take away the whole tie.
Absolutely, and they should be. They should be
favourites. Whereas 1-0 to T-Dubs here, I think you'd go, they might go in as very slight favourites.
The thing is, if T-Dubs get a goal then, up there, all of a sudden Auckland need three.
Yeah.
So
that one goal makes a world of difference. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It was a shame, but what an outstanding day, what an outstanding advert for football. It was the best game of football I've seen in Wellington since the Peru visited.
Yeah. It was great seeing David Farrington as full as it was. It was very annoying having to queue for the barbecue.
No, it's good having to queue for the barbecue.
It was good.
All money back in the coffers of T-Dubs,
totally,
which they need.
Totally. But it's like when Westpac Stadium's full and you have to spend your whole halftime waiting for a beer, as opposed to when there's 4,500 people there, allegedly, and you can just wander straight up and get it. Like, from that perspective, it was annoying that there were other people around. I hate people, so, like, it's fine. But it was awesome seeing it full. The atmosphere was there. I'm sure the roof would lift off the club rooms if they had got a goal. T-Dubs, that is. I can't help but feel that Auckland are going to shade it in the second leg, and this performance wasn't quite enough.
It just feels for me as though they shaded it here, as the home team they shaded it. Do they have that same performance in them as the away team? And that's what you just don't know for sure.
One thing I like about this is we look at the New Zealand Premiership final and we can see how close those two teams are now. Like, that was a very tight game up there as well that ended up, you know, coming down to one goal that, you know, it certainly, again, wasn't the best chance of the game. It just happened to be the one that went in, and there were some really great chances both ways that probably should have been scored, and that's the one that ended up going in. And so it's going to be interesting to see, because I think we've got a track record now of those teams actually being very close, and that on any given day it kind of doesn't matter where they are, it's going to be a tight game that either team could win. So
God, I hope this stays
really
that way next year,
that even though, you know, we still have that problem at the top of that New Zealand league, that that there's, you know, a couple runaways. Those runaways are getting closer and closer to each other, and there are a few others slowly getting into the mix. And
Canterbury were close, East were close, and last season Waitak were close. So the ability of those teams is still around there. So
anyway, that was a podcast this week. It's done. We recorded it, and I hope you enjoyed listening. And so from.
As much as we enjoyed bringing it to you.
Well, did we enjoy it, really, though?
Oh, is it ever a bad time to talk football with your mates?
Yes.
I enjoyed the pod.
Tim.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Communication isn't necessarily necessary. Brings you. Wrapping the season wrap. Brings you. Well, that was one hell of a week. Brings you.
South Melbourne Phoenix. Brings you.
South Sydney Phoenix. Brings you. Cronulla Sutherland Phoenix. Brings you. Auckland City Ole Academy New Zealand Football Phoenix. Brings you.
Now that you know, they're not missing any games in a season because of the All Whites.
It provides okay, go. Fine, cut that.
Where'd you go?
Leave that in.